Good morning and welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church this morning. Buenos dias y bienvenidos a la Iglesia Mennonita Prairie Street. Estamos muy contentos que todos de ustedes estén aquí esta mañana. We're so glad that all of you are here this morning. As I was preparing for this service, I was thinking, what does it really mean to give that kind of welcome? Cuando estaba preparando para este servicio, estaba pensando, ¿qué significa realmente dar esta bienvenida? Conozco a muchos de ustedes, pero no conozco a todos aquí, y no sé todos de sus historias y sus vidas. I know many of you here this morning, but I don't know everyone, and I certainly don't know everyone's stories and where everyone came from. But it's my job this morning, and our job as a congregation, to welcome you anyways. Pero es mi trabajo esta mañana y nuestro trabajo como congregación darle la bienvenida de todos modos. I thought of the yard signs that we've all seen over the past few years, the tricolor green, blue, and orange signs that say, no matter where you're from, we're glad you're our neighbor. No importa de dónde eres, estamos contentos que seas nuestro vecino. Estamos contentos que estén escuchando ahora, esta mañana, o después. We're glad you're listening this morning or later, and I hope you know that you have a place here. Espero que sepas que tienes un lugar aquí. And now Kyle will lead us in singing. We'll be singing Sing the Journey number 4, You've Got a Place.
And those who are able, please stand.
As you know, we're in a transition process as a congregation right now, and we have two groups, the Leadership Task Group and the Community Task Group, that are working on proposals to guide the congregation as we move forward. I'm a part of the Community Task Group, and in a nutshell, we're trying to figure out what our identity is as a congregation. And that certainly involves being aware of where we came from. And Prairie Street in particular has a really rich tradition in this neighborhood and in this city. And when I read the scripture and the sermon notes for this Sunday, I couldn't help but think about the work that our community task group is doing, and really the work that the whole congregation is doing right now. This passage in Acts describes a community that is used to being defined in a certain way, and they have to wrestle with that a little bit as they figure out what's really most important. And as a task group, we're trying to name what are the things that make us the most like Prairie Street, whatever that is. What are the Prairie Streetiest things that are the most important to these people at this place, at this time? And sometimes that involves looking at our tradition and holding on and saying, hey, this is a pretty cool part of who we are, and we think this should continue to define us going forward. And sometimes that involves us saying, you know what, this particular thing doesn't really make sense for us anymore, and we need to release some things that used to be really important to us. So as we continue to worship this morning, I invite you to think about the connection between the scripture and what we're working on right now as a congregation. So let's pray. God of community, you love each one of us equally and beyond measure. Let us learn to love our neighbors more deeply so that we can create more peaceful and just relationships. Inspire us to use our creative energies to make the decisions we need to and to transform into the congregation that this community needs right now. May Jesus Christ provide us the example we need and send the Spirit to warm our hearts for the journey. Amen.
Sing the journey number 27, God of the Bible.
Thank you. and in the same book, number 15, we'll sing Spanish, English, and then back to Spanish again.
For our time of confession, let's pray together. God, we know that as hard as we try, sometimes community can be messy, and we don't always get it right. We lose sight of what really unites us as a community, and either as individuals or together, we are inconsiderate in our thoughts, cruel in our words, shameful in our actions. We are indifferent to injustices around us, even injustices that we are a part of. We pass by on the other side when we see our neighbor in need. We wander from the way that leads to peace. God of community, grant us your forgiveness. Amen. I now invite you to stand as one community of believers to hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, as we profess faith in God's firm foundation, we acknowledge that God bears with us and has mercy on us and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us share Christ's peace with one another and show that we are one body of believers, saying either, La paz de Cristo sea contigo, or the peace of Christ be with you, and responding with, Y también contigo, or and also with you. I now invite the children to come forward, and Sarah Nahar is back with us to lead the children's time.
Good morning and welcome. You can put some offering in the basket or touch it and bless it as it goes around. Thank you so much. Everything you all give makes a difference. It matters here. Thank you. We have a young one who's giving all of his coins. Every last one. Thank you so much, Ami. All right. Okay, for this children's time, we're going to stand up. Let's stand up. Okay. And we are going to take our left hand. Ready? You might want some space, Michaela. We're going to stretch to the right. That's okay. Left and right are overrated. Okay, just switch directions, whichever way you're going. Here we go. Stretch the other way. Good. And let's stretch up as high as we can. And stretch down. Who can touch her toes? So close. Yes. All right. Fantastic. Yes. Even if you have to bend your knees, get to those toes. Great. And stretch forward. All right. Nice. How do you feel when you stretch? How's it feel? How's it feel? How's it feel? Do you feel warmer or colder?
Warmer.
Warmer? All right. Great. Feel warm. Feel warmer or colder? You got colder. Warmer. Maybe we should just try the legs. Let's try the legs. Put your right foot forward, left leg back. Get it, Catherine. Good stretch. Yes, there you go. Can you feel it? Can you feel your muscles extending? Switch legs. Where do you all stretch in your life? At home? Anywhere else? When I went to Roosevelt, we stretched in gym class. Anyone else have another part of the body they want to stretch? Do you know you can stretch your fingers? Let's try. And out again. If you do that during the sermon, you'll be really stretched out. Have a seat. Okay. What does stretching help us do? Relax. It makes us warm. What else? Also makes me become more flexible. Yes? Another word, flexible. Nice. Can you all do that? Can you do that stretch that Junior's doing? Oh, wow. That feels really good. So it also feels good to stretch. Helps our bodies. It extends our reach. So today the sermon is about stretching. It's about Peter on the roof. He receives a message from God that invites him to stretch. So each time you stretch this week, I invite you to think about how God is helping you become more flexible. Extend your reach, right? And that we can warm up to new people and to new ways that God is in the world. Great stretch. Would you like to show us one more, Avi? Here's a fun stretch that I like. Try this one. It also works because you give yourself a hug. Squeeze. Nice. So let's pray for the week. And let's all stretch our hands in together like we're one team. You see, and we all look different. Big hands, small hands, light hands, dark hands, and even stuffed animal hands are all in. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the way that you are with us as we stretch at school and at home and here at church. Thank you for your message to your disciples to stretch across time to bring a message today. Amen.
The scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?"
Los apóstoles y los hermanos que estaban en Judea supieron que también los no judíos habían recibido la palabra de Dios. Así que cuando Pedro subió a Jerusalén, los que practicaban la circuncisión comenzaron a discutir con él. Le dijeron, "¿Por qué entraste en la casa de gente no judía y comiste allí?"
Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.'"
Pedro comenzó entonces a contarles detalladamente lo que había sucedido. Les dijo, "Mientras yo estaba orando en Jope, entré en éxtasis y tuve una visión. Vi que del cielo bajaba hacia mí un gran lienzo atado por las cuatro puntas. Me fijé bien y vi que allí había cuadrúpedos, fieras, reptiles y aves. Oí además una voz que me decía, 'Pedro, levántate, mata y come.'"
But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven.
Yo respondí, "No, Señor, porque nunca he comido nada que sea común o impuro." Pero desde el cielo la voz me dijo la segunda vez, "Lo que Dios ha limpiado, no lo llames tú impuro." Esto se repitió tres veces, después de lo cual el lienzo fue llevado de nuevo al cielo.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is our pastor Francis. Let's pray with her as she prepares to give us the word this morning. God, we lift up your servant Francis as she delivers the message to us this morning. Grant us listening ears and attentive minds so that we may share in the insights and the wisdom that she brings us through the study of your word. Help each one of us to understand and to hold on to her words as we go about this day and this week. May the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
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 Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea, or actually the Jewish apostles and the Jewish believers, heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. The Gentiles. How could Gentiles accept the word of God? Absurd. And the grapevine had been running. Peter, their own Peter, their leader, had eaten with them. A serious charge of misconduct. The New Jerusalem Bible puts it this way. So, you have been visiting the uncircumcised and eating with them, have you? Peter is called to account by his brothers in the Lord. Peter, what are you doing? We're hearing crazy stories about you. You're eating with the unclean. This was critical. We hear you are eating with the Gentiles. Some might be those that we call God-fearers, and they might be good people. You might even be called to heal them. You might be called to love them. Jesus seemed to do these things. But, you most certainly don't eat with them. Those who confronted Peter in this way had all the weight of tradition and theology on their side. Being a Jew meant observing the purity codes, the rules given by God that made you who you were. Israel had lived much of its story under the threat of assimilation. Life under empire is always life in an unfriendly world, under threat, outnumbered, and with the very real danger of your identities and your values being crushed. And your people ending up obliterated, absorbed, and assimilated into the alien culture. When they read their holy texts, when they formed their communities, raised their families, organized worship, there were standards which defined who they were. This is what we believe. This is how we live. Always observing Sabbath, purity codes. These regulations carried their identity, held them together, told them who they were and what made them different. Without these observances, there was a risk that with the mix of Greeks and Romans and whoever happened to wander by, they could simply be diluted and disappear. So Peter really had to explain himself because his community did not understand. He had to tell them the truth, and the truth was hard to tell because Peter fully understood their concern and the sharpness of their question. So Peter tells them about a dream, a wildly vivid dream. A sheet comes down from heaven, and there are all the four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air, the ones that were unclean. And a voice says, "Take and eat." Well, it had to be a trick. It was a test, because Peter knew well what was commanded. That which made them strong, that which held the people of Israel together through all the struggles and the losses, which preserved them as enemies overwhelmed them, their identity as God's chosen, pure, and separate, those dietary laws known by every man, woman, child, what the boys learned as they accompanied their fathers to synagogue, and what the little girls learned accompanying their mothers to the market. So Peter knew how to respond. He wasn't going to be fooled. and he makes a full-throated response. By no means, Lord. By no means. For nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. This was perhaps a matter of pride. Peter may have had some embarrassing moments, a few slips, but he was good on this. No impure eating. But then the voice responded, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Oh, confusion? Well, God created everything, yes. And now God has made the unclean clean? Peter's mind is reeling, struggling with these words. The dream repeats three times, probably needed three times. One would be unsure about changing everything based on one glimpse. It's a holy encounter. A word seemingly from God, a conflicted one, a vivid dream, turmoil, and yet there was something definitely holy about it. The vision repeats three times, washing over Peter with prophetic power. He comes awake in a daze, aware that he has encountered a vision from God, but with no clear idea of what it means. His mind is turning with the images and the words, and in the middle of all this pondering, a call comes that there are visitors downstairs asking for him. Peter must go down, still in a daze, his mind turning over the powerful dream, and maybe he's not even fully awake. But there at the door, at that very moment, three men sent from Caesarea arrived at the house. Three men with yet another message, which in a crazy, strange way seemed to be right. And so he goes on and explains to the brothers and the company in Jerusalem, the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. And we entered the man's house. And that man explained that he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved. A dream on one end and an angel at the other. And Peter stepped through the door. Peter stepped into a journey that changes forever the shape of the church and what the body of Christ will be. Maybe his head was spinning, but I think his heart was sure. And then he goes on with his story about what happened when he arrived at the house. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? This story of the Spirit being given there in the house has been called the Gentile Pentecost. Separate from the Jewish Pentecost, which somewhat strangely is the one that we take as our liturgical Pentecost, June 9th this year, I had to go back and read it because I had never really paid attention. So in Acts 2, that story of the tongues of fire, the wild outpouring of the Spirit, reads, "Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem." And then we have that long list of nationalities of everyone who heard in their native language: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Egypt belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Yes? Proselytes, originally not Jewish, but those on a formal journey, certainly circumcised. So you could come in, but there was a way you did it. And even those that they called God-fearers, those Gentiles who might associate with a synagogue and believe, even the God-fearers, the Gentile God-fearers, were expected to observe the dietary laws. So we see a few things here. The puzzle of how it can be that what God says seems to change so completely and suddenly. The message Peter understood to be from God indeed went against all tradition and text taught to them. It was from God that certain creatures were unclean to eat. And now God is saying, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Wait a minute. God, you said that. This is the law, to make distinction between unclean and clean, between creatures that may be eaten and those that may not be eaten. It's in the holy book. It's in Leviticus. It's in Deuteronomy. And it's even referred to in Genesis for unclean and clean animals on the ark. We also see the church in Acts needing to find its way. Find a new way. Jesus had gone up in the clouds. What now? What is the identity and mission of the church? Those disciples who in the stories of Jesus so often seem to be bumblers, missing the message, missing the intent of Jesus, clueless. Now the bumblers were in charge. We also see demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the coming of the Spirit for both Jews and Gentiles actually changes everything. Now the bumblers manage to launch vigorous new communities, spreading across the known world in explosive growth. And then puzzling over that strange turn, that one part of the tradition that was so important, so defining, the dietary laws turned so abruptly. The call to Abraham in the beginning was to be a blessing to all the nations. And it was this precious blessing to the world that holds together both the command to eat and the command not to eat. First, to keep the community intact and distinct. Then, when the time came to break open the community and bless the world, no more distinction between clean and unclean. Both commandments for the same one purpose, to bless. And the church, then and again and always. What next? How to figure it out? What to do next? The church has been about that ever since, with questions of identity and questions of mission. The church is still in the hand of bumblers. The church continues to have what next moments over and over again through the ages in all places around the world. In places like Elkhart, at Prairie Street. And yes, with questions and bumps. But the hope lies in that the Spirit is working, that the Spirit continues to the work, that the Spirit has been given, turned loose, turned out into our world. And as we sang this morning, we are the small paper lanterns lighting the way. What does it mean for us to be sent into the world? As the people of God with a message for the world. How do we understand God's work in the world? I think, like the children, we stretch, we breathe, we become more flexible, we extend in all those stiff and maybe painful places. What is God doing in the world? It is God who gives Peter the vision of a new way. It is not theological treatise, nor Peter's ideas, evangelism or church growth, but God. God surprising God's people. Beyond their imagination, beyond their understanding, may it be so here today. Amen.
Blue Hymnal, number 411, I Bind My Heart This Tide. And those who are able, please stand.
This is Paul Aquilo, and I am currently your conference moderator.
Buenos días, ella es Poli Theater y es la moderadora de la conferencia.
And I want to call your attention to the announcement in our bulletin about our conference gathering in June from the 13th through the 15th.
Y quisiera que tomaran un tiempo para poder leer los anuncios que están aquí en la boleta acerca de la reunión que tendremos de la conferencia que será a cabo el día junio 13 al 15.
Because this year, for the very first time, we will be offering simultaneous Spanish translation.
Y la razón por la que ella está muy emocionada de compartir estas noticias es porque esta será la primera vez que estarán traduciendo simultáneamente.
And our own Quinn Brennecke will be the person offering the translation.
Y será el hermano Quinn el que va a ser el traductor de esta conferencia.
And the gathering at Amigo is open to everyone. The worship services, our times in nature, and our community gathering times.
Y esta invitación es para todos, para todas las actividades que están siendo efectivas en esta... What is it called? I'm sorry. I forgot the last part.
Our community gathering times.
Okay. Worship. La invitación está abierta para los para la alabanza, para el... o para que tengan tiempo en la naturaleza y para otras actividades que estarán disponibles.
And we have scholarships available through the conference for anyone who can't afford to go.
Y también tenemos becas disponibles para las personas que no tengan capacidad financiera para asistir.
Gracias. Yes, the worship services are free. I'll just do the rest on my own. We have with us this morning George Thompson, who has served with me on the conference board for 4 years, but George has served for 9 years. He has termed out, and his service has both been on the board and as our treasurer, meaning that he also is at every stewardship team meeting. So he has done double duty for 9 years. So I just want us to offer our thanks to George.
All right. All right, I'll invite the ushers to please pass the offering.
Sing the story, Purple Book, number 117.
Thank you.
And please turn in the blue folder to number 93, Joyous Light of Heavenly Glory. And those who are able, please stand.
Blessing. The mercy of Christ attend you. The love of God surround you. And the Holy Spirit bring you dreams and visions that you, Prairie Street Mennonite Church, might live in faith, abound in hope, and grow in love, both now and forevermore. Amen.